Cops and Robbers team helping to run the Holiday Bible Club. It's been brilliant. It's been especially great. I've particularly loved just being reminded about this wonderful story of Joseph and the way that we see God at work through his life and all the twists and turns and the ups and downs that Joseph's life takes over the course of the story. My life, I guess, has taken twists and turns at different points. I can think of those days where my life has changed wonderfully and amazingly. I think of my wedding day. Got married nearly 14 years ago, and my wife is still my best friend. And I look back on that day and I think just how much my life changed just like that. Just overnight, actually being a husband to a wife, my life changed completely. When our children were born, my eldest son Noah is 11, and I still remember so clearly the day that he was born. I love the fact that I could be there, and I was the first person that held him. And then our second son, Seth, was there when he was born too. And then we've also got a little daughter, Eden, who is 2.5 and is an absolute delight and a bundle of chaos and fun. And I remember when she was born, I remember when we came home from the hospital with Seth, our second son, and I realised within about 10 minutes, I realised having two children was more than twice as hard as having one child to look after. And then a third just, well, we don't really know what we're doing. But I remember those amazing good days, and I think of other days when my life has changed almost overnight, you know, instantly, but not in good ways. I think of the day when we had a phone call from Seth's school. They phoned me up and said, Mr. Burton, we'd like you to come in as quickly as you can. Seth has had an accident and he's hurt his head and we've called an ambulance. Can you come as quickly as you can? That all kind of worked out okay, but that was a really scary day, a really scary moment. I remember when Noah and Seth were 5 and 6 years old, and Lisa and I were quite content with our two boys and our family as it was. And then to our surprise and delight, we realised that we were going to have another baby. Woo! That became a wonderful surprise. But the initial emotions were panic and what do we do? We had our 12-week scan and after that we told Noah and Seth that they were going to be having a little baby brother or sister, and we proudly videoed their reaction, which was over the moon and wonderful. Then about 2 weeks later, it was another of those days. We went up to hospital for a quick checkup, which should have been completely routine. And there was no heartbeat, and we'd lost our little baby. And it was one of those days, it's one of those moments where, just like that, life changes completely. It's like the world falls apart around you, like the rug is pulled from under your feet. Like you suddenly don't know, what are we going to do now? How are we going to move forward from here? I remember that day so clearly. It's etched into my mind. It's only after you experience something like that that you start to learn how many other people have experienced something similar. Actually, how many other people have been through that kind of experience. And you start to talk and process together. And you start to try and pray and think about moving forward from there and discovering your new normal. But nothing is ever going to be the same again. And so life is full of those days, isn't it? Some days that just transform our lives in a wonderful way. Sometimes we wake up not knowing it, but that day our lives are going to change in ways that we'd never have imagined and would always regret. Life has its ups and downs, its twists and its turns. Maybe you can relate to me. Maybe you can think of those times where you've had that phone call from the hospital, or that phone call from your kid's school, or that phone call from the care home, or you've had that letter arrive on the doormat with the red ink and final warning. And whether you've had those moments where, whether it's to do with health or finance or family and relationships, life suddenly changes course and everything's going to be different. I'm so pleased that God in his grace has included in the Bible this story for us, for our benefit, of a guy whose life went up and down like a roller coaster. You know, Joseph had these amazing moments of glory and things going great, and then these devastating lows where the rug's pulled from under his feet. And so this week I've been just enjoying reflecting on that story. And I'm assuming we all know the story of Joseph quite well, either because we are diligent students of God's word and passionately love understanding the Bible, or we just really like Andrew Lloyd Webber musicals. But either way, we all know the story quite well. Joseph growing up with this position of privilege and promise, you know, being the favoured son, and God giving him these promises of grandeur and splendour, of wonderful things that are going to happen to him. And then one day all being ripped away from him, his family turn on him, his brothers decide to try and kill him, and then just at the last minute spare his life, but he's sold into slavery. He's dragged away in chains, away from home, away from that privilege, away from that potential. I wonder what was going through his mind. He lands on his feet, though. He lands, ends up as a slave in Potiphar's house, a household where he's able to rise through the ranks of the staff in the house, and becomes, you know, second only to the master of the house, to Potiphar. And then Potiphar's wife turns up, and suddenly the rug's pulled from under his feet as he's accused of a horrendous crime and thrown into prison for doing nothing wrong. He's there in prison, maybe wondering what on earth is going to happen next. We don't know for how long he's in prison, but again, he rises through the ranks. God favours him. God is with him, and he knows it. And he's given this lifeline, the butler and the baker, and he interprets their dreams, and the butler gets out, and he's brilliant. Mention me to Pharaoh. Tell the Pharaoh that I'm here in prison, unfairly, unjustly. Get me out. I wonder how many days he waited to hear the phone call. Well, it wouldn't have been a phone call, but to hear the message, to hear the jailer come and say, I've had word from Pharaoh, you're to be released. I've had word from Pharaoh, he's pardoned you. I wonder how many days. The days turn into weeks and the weeks turn into months. The Bible says it was 2 years later, 2 years later, that Joseph finally was called for and summoned. Not because the butler had finally remembered, but because the Pharaoh had had these crazy dreams with the fat cows and the skinny cows. And then he's called for. And again, he's put in this position. He rises to a place of influence and honour and is able to be used by God in a wonderful way. And then the brothers all come back and he forgives them. I wonder why Joseph acted the way he did. You see, if it was me, I'm not certain that I would have held on to the promises that God had given quite so firmly as Joseph seemed to. Joseph seemed to know throughout this story of ups and downs and twists and turns, he seemed to know that God was with him. God was with him in all of it. I wonder why he rejected the advances of Potiphar's wife. You know, he gives this amazing role model, doesn't he, to us guys. Guys, there's a lesson for us to learn here. Sin walks in one door, and he runs out the other. Temptation comes at him from one angle. He runs away in the other direction. I wonder why. If it was me, I think I might have felt like I was due a bit of fun, and actually a bit of TLC, and a bit of attention. Someone really likes me. Finally! Joseph honours God. He knows what's right, and he knows that would be wrong. He runs out of the other door. His brothers come to him, and instead of him taking the opportunity to exact his revenge and to get his own back or to make them feel small, he sees it differently. And maybe this is the key to the story. This is Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. He says to his brothers, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." What you meant for harm, God has used for good. Joseph seemed to know that through all the highs and lows and all the twists and turns, God was with him, that God still had a purpose for him, that God was at work in his life. And ultimately, he was able to express that and live that out to his brothers in saying, "What you meant for harm, I'm not going to hold it against you. You're forgiven because I know that God meant it for good." Hundreds of years later, the Apostle Paul, he expresses something of the same sentiment when he writes to the church in Rome. And he writes this. This is Romans 8, verse 28. Now, we at Holiday Club, we learnt Romans 5, verse 8, which is a wonderful memory verse, great verse to take away. This is another wonderful verse from that same letter written to the Romans. And I think it will come up on the screen. And Paul says this. He says, "We want you to know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." In all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And really, really quickly, just in 3 minutes, 3 points, just to underline for us to take away. The Bible does not say that in some things God works for our good. The Bible does not say that in the good things, the nice things, the great things, the wonderful things, the memories that we'd like to put on Facebook and tell all our friends about, and oh, wasn't that wonderful, not just in those things that God works for our good. Scripture doesn't tell us even that in most things God works for the good of those who love him. The Bible promises us that in all things, that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. The good days and the bad days, the high points and the low points. There is nothing that God cannot use in our lives. Even the really awful stuff, even the rubbish stuff, even the stuff that we would do anything to have avoided in our lives. God can use all things and does use all things to work together for our good. And God uses all things in our lives for our good. God is on our side. Did you know that? The Bible says that God is for us, not against us. God is for you. He is on your side. He is at work in your life, accomplishing good in our lives. God has plans to prosper and not to harm us, to give us a hope and a future. It was one of the verses that one of our children read out earlier. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to whose purpose? According to, say it with me, his purpose. God has a purpose in our lives. God has a purpose for our lives. There is a purpose that God is unfolding in which our lives play a part. God works together in all things for our good, according to his purpose. He has called us according to his purpose. Not because of anything that we've done. For Joseph, God wasn't working together for good in his life because Joseph was a good boy and ran away when Potiphar's wife was running after him and honoured God and forgave his brothers. No, it was according to his purpose. God had called him according, and he's called us according to his purpose. It's not because of any merits or doing on our part. It's not because we've done our quiet time this morning and we've said our prayers or we've helped out with Holiday Club. No, it's according to his purpose. It's God's decision. He has called us and he is at work in our lives for our good and uses all things to accomplish it. If you don't know it well already, this is a wonderful memory verse to hold on to and to treasure. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. A friend of mine once said to me many years ago, she said, never doubt in the darkness what you've known to be true in the light. Never doubt in the darkness what you've known to be true in the light. In the dark days, in the times where you're not entirely sure anymore what's going to happen next, because the rug's been pulled from under your feet, because your world seems to be collapsing around your ears. Never doubt in those moments the goodness of God. Never doubt in those times that God has a purpose in all things to work them together for our good. Never doubt it. I've got a little bit of a challenge for you, which I suspect you're not going to like. But I think if you respond to it, it would be a wonderful thing to do. And I'm going to give you some homework. And again, you're going to push back a little bit and you're going to think, oh, that's a nice idea, but I can't be bothered. But I really want to challenge you to do something practical about this truth that we've been exploring. And what I want to challenge and invite you to do this afternoon, don't leave it till tomorrow because you'll forget. This afternoon, write a letter. It doesn't have to be a long letter. Maybe spend a quarter of an hour or 20 minutes. Write a letter as though you're writing to a Christian who is going through one of those awful days, one of those horrible seasons of life, one of those times where the future is suddenly completely uncertain, not entirely sure what's going to happen next. Where is God in this? Write a letter that you might write to a believer in that position. Write about the goodness of God. Tell them about how you know, your testimony, your journey of God's faithfulness. Write a note explaining that they need to hold on and never doubt in the darkness what they've found to be true in the light. And you want to underline that and include this verse and write an encouragement to them. And then I want you to fold it up and put it in an envelope and write your name on it. And tuck it into your Bible in the page where Romans 8:28 can be found. Never doubt in the darkness what you've known to be true in the light. I don't know what kind of season of life you are each in at the moment, but if you're living life in the light and things are great at the moment, sooner or later, life will probably take a bit of a twist or a turn. Wouldn't it be wonderful for Slough Baptist Church if the leaders of the church knew that there was this amazing pastoral resource at your disposal, because every single member of the church, in those times where suddenly overnight something happens that pulls the rug from under your feet, that every member could flick in their Bibles to Romans 8:28 to be reminded of this truth and to open a letter written reminding you about God's goodness, reminding you never to doubt in the darkness what you've known to be true in the light. Wouldn't that be wonderful? What an amazing resource to have. What a brilliant faith-building thing to have. Are you up for it?
Yeah.
Yeah, the kids are all up for it. That's what I like. Fantastic. Be led by the children of this church. They're all going to do it. They're going to scribble a note. And you're going to scribble it to yourself and tuck it into your Bibles. Romans 8:28. Maybe you should follow suit. Let's pray together and ask God to seal the truth of this verse in our hearts. Father, we pray that you would indeed help us in whatever season of life we are experiencing at the moment. Help us to be like Joseph. Help us to know your presence even in the dark times. To know that you have a plan and a purpose in our lives, whatever twists and turns it might take. Help us to live out the truth that Paul writes about, knowing that you, O God, work in all things for good in the lives of those who love you, whom you have called according to your purpose. We ask it, Lord, in Jesus' name, for your glory. Amen.